Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
How are you, Eddie?
I'm good. How are you?
Dude, I like your bedhead today.
Yeah, I don't comb my hair anymore. I don't do it. There's no point.
You're starting to have like a very shemp-like...
It's more squiggy. It's more squiggy from Laverne and Shirley.
How was your week? What did you
fun.
Do?
I didn't do anything. I don't know.
You didn't do anything?
Yeah, we can't ask me that question anymore because I don't do anything.
Why?
I don't do anything.
Come on. You see movies.
What'd you do?
You go to Poppy Fields.
What'd you do?
What did I do? I don't remember what I did.
You didn't go to Vegas or some show or
no,
something?
No, I didn't do Vegas. I didn't do any shows. I kind of like hung about and did a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
I wanted to go see movies. I haven't seen a movie in like 2 months in the theater.
I saw Sausage Party. It was the last movie I saw.
I bet you did. Was it good?
Really?
Okay.
It was okay.
Yeah, it got like rave reviews, but like... I've never thought.
I mean, it had a message I wasn't expecting it to have, which was interesting. It had definitely an interesting message, but
like a political message? Or
no, very anti-religion.
Wow.
Very atheist message, which I dug. I totally
like,
dug.
These are my people.
Well, it's just like all crap. It's all phony baloney crap.
Have you seen The Night of?
No, I haven't. That's on HBO. Showtime.
That's one
or
of the
HBO?
Best TV shows.
Showtime.
Yeah, I've been binge watching a lot of TV shows.
I don't have Showtime.
We've talked about Stranger Things. Like, that show is the best. Have you seen that?
I haven't watched that either.
Wait, you haven't watched Stranger Things?
Uh-uh.
Oh man, dude, and you'd be proud of me. Last night I watched a whole special on Bill Burr.
Oh really?
Dude, it was so.
What's the special?
So
what was the special about?
I think it was called Let It Go. It was just like an hour special on it.
Oh, a comedy special.
Yeah.
I thought you looked like a documentary.
No, no,
like,
no,
I didn't
no.
know it was a documentary.
And it was awesome. Like, have you seen all of his comedy bits?
I've seen most. I don't know if I saw the was it the black and white one?
No. But that's the next one I want to watch.
That's a good one. I like that one.
I watched Bill Burr and I watched Kevin Hart last night. And
which Kevin Hart one?
I watched oh man, what was it called?
You got that new movie coming out.
It was like Kings of Comedy, I think. It's the one in Cleveland.
No, I don't know.
It was good. It was really good.
I don't know.
You know what I do like about comedy specials? Like, you can go back and watch them, and it's like an album. You can, like, relive them.
Some, yeah.
What are your favorite comedy specials? I don't think I've ever asked you that question.
I don't know. I like going back and watching some, like, the 80s ones. Like, Robin Williams Live at the Met was fun to watch.
I always loved the comic relief he did.
Him
and Billy Crystal and Whoopi.
Man, that was always cheesy. I never really dug that. It was like so hokey. I was like, egh.
Yeah, but they were all on drugs. Like,
I know,
like,
but it wasn't. I don't know.
It was like very.
I like that. I liked watching some of the old HBO specials from the 80s. Were fun to watch, but
like Sam Kinison.
Yeah, and like the old Rodney Dangerfield, like young comic shows when he'd have like five up and coming comics on a show. It was like you'd see like Seinfeld get his first TV gig and. Sam Kinison, stuff like that.
Sam Kinison's awesome. Rodney Dangerfield's awesome. Richard Pryor's awesome. George Carlin is awesome. There were definitely some.
I just recently watched the Sam Kinison, the one he did. I forget the name of it. It was his first one that he shot. I think it was at the Palladium in Hollywood, and it's like so. Like, you couldn't do that special today.
Why? Because it's so crass, over the top?
Well, it's just the way, at that time, because it was like 85 or 86, I think it came, 86 it came out, and like when, during the big AIDS epidemic, and like everyone blamed gay people for AIDS. Like, he's
right.
Just ripping into gay people for AIDS. And stuff like that. Like, stuff you just because we, not so much that it's not PC, it's just that we know that's not the reason anymore.
Right, right.
But at the time, that's what everyone believed, so you could do that and make jokes about it, and people would laugh.
Did I ever tell you I met Sam Kinison when I was a kid?
No.
I met him when I sang backstage. I sang at the Grammy Awards, so I sang background, and he was one of the hosts that came in and talked. And I actually watched him rehearse. You know, like, sometimes they show up for the rehearsals.
Yeah.
And they'd go through their lines and stuff. And I remember, I'll never forget this because I was so like taken aback. He's in rehearsal and he was just like, Eddie, where the fuck are you, Eddie? Like, just like in front of the Shrine crew, in front of like everybody. Like, he just started yelling over the microphone, just like in character. And I was just, it totally got my attention. I was like, man, I gotta pay attention to this guy, dude. And I'd seen him in Back to School. I remember seeing him in Back to School with my dad, and I was like, I love this dude. But he was wearing his full-on beret,
yeah,
his trench coat, and he actually was like super mellow. I was really scared of him because of the Back to School and how he was acting during rehearsals and even during the Grammys.
Yeah.
But when I met him backstage, he was like super mellow and kind and just super chill. So I was not expecting that other side of his, you know, personality, just to be super mellow. So I was intimidated. I was like, hey, can I get your autograph? And like, he was like, yeah, sure, kid, totally. And he was like super, super cool. And it was like, I was just expecting him to be like, no, get out of here! You know, like, because he's so loud.
Ow.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. I always, like, wondered how he, like, got into, like, the beret thing. Like, that was, like...
I think he was just going bald and he just needed a hat.
Yeah, but why that hat? That was,
like, I don't know. Well, he wore bandanas, too.
Yeah, but...
For a while. Really, the when he got into his rocker phase, he had his bandanas he wore.
He was, like, kind of a rock star in that era, wasn't he?
He did. He got into, yeah. He got into, like, that whole rock and roll scene. He actually did a video. He did a music video. What was the name of the song he did?
What? Really?
What was the name of that song? I can't remember. I'll look it up.
Everybody was on cocaine. It doesn't
everybody
matter.
Oh, yeah. He did so much. I think he did most of the cocaine in the 80s.
And it would. So when you watch a show like that, like an old school one, does that inspire you to write jokes? Or do you
no,
kind of just
it's
like...
just like... It's just watching the period in which comedy was written. Like, it's just so a part of the time it was written in.
Is there ever timeless comedy, you think?
Some, but it's so, it's I mean, good comedy is always about the human condition at the moment, sort right. of, and it's sort of...
I kind of feel like George Carlin's a little timeless.
Some of it. I mean, some of it.
I except for his sweaters and stuff like that.
But, and his glasses.
Yes. But, yeah, I like watching some of those old school shows, but it's neat to watch some of the new guys,
too. He did, Sam Kinison did Wild Thing.
Wow, that's right!
Music
I
video.
Remember that.
That's what it was called.
That was actually around the time that he did Back to School.
Yeah, a little bit later than that. Back to School was like 86, 87. I think yep. Wild Thing was a little after that. That's when he got into the rock and roll thing.
That's so crazy. See, there's hope for you yet, Eddie.
There is.
This could be your shtick.
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Do you ever go to a comedy show and not to perform?
Oh, fuck no.
Never?
Never.
Never ever?
Never ever.
So watching it on TV, is that's your
I'll time. Go to a comedy club to say hi to friends and stuff, but I don't sit there and watch a comedy show.
So there's no comics that you're like a Bill Burr came and did a show.
I would check out a few minutes. I don't think I'd sit through a 45-minute show of anybody.
Wow. Just because you're like, I don't want
to... I just don't want to see it.
Is it because you don't think most people are that funny?
No, not at all.
Or
not
just
all.
Like, I do this all the time and the last thing I want
to
do...
I just don't have a desire to sit there and watch stand-up comedy. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
I have a weird thing, like when I open for an artist, for some reason, after I go through that terminal, I want to see them less live. It's not like that with a lot of people, but a couple
know.
People. Like Ray LaMontagne just came through here a couple nights ago, and I was like, well, for one, my best friend passed away, and I'm not in the mood to hear a bunch of sad songs.
Yeah.
But another thing was like, I'll see him on another tour. I haven't even listened to his new album yet.
No, I haven't.
All that stuff. So.
I just don't have it. Like, I find a lot of comedians funny. A lot of my friends are funny. I just don't have a desire to sit in a comedy club and watch a show.
Because you just don't feel like that's entertainment for you right now? Because you do it? I'm not.
I guess. I don't know. I just never. I don't know.
Like when you watch a comedy show, you're like, I should be up there. I want to.
Oh, of course you want to be up there.
Right. So maybe that's part of it.
At the same time, I don't know. It's just I don't find it that enjoyable.
Well, maybe it's like because you write so much. Do you write a lot? And you're just like when you're
no, I just don't want to go. I just don't want to watch comedy shows.
Okay,
I just don't. I don't know why. I guess I'll think about it. I don't know why.
So Bill Burr, like he's the next comic.
I would watch. Yeah, I would sit in the back of the room and watch for like 10 minutes. But
and
if
then
he's
that was it.
If he's doing like 45 minutes, I don't think I would sit there for 45
Wow.
minutes. I can watch it on TV because I can just pause it and then watch 10-minute chunks and come back to it or whatever, but I don't think I can...
So you have, like, ADD then. That's what
it's not ADD. It's just, like, it doesn't hold my... I guess it doesn't hold my attention as the way a movie does or
something.
That's
called ADD.
No, because I don't have it in general.
I get... You know what? You know
I'll sit through
really
a three-hour movie.
See, that's difficult for me. Unless the movie is just riveting. Like, you know, sometimes movies have, like... You know, there's parts of it where it just... you have to set up the story or a character development or whatever. And sometimes I just get bored with that. I'm like, get on with it. Like, yeah. pull me into the story. It's just, it's got to be like that. And well, the crazy thing is I think TV is winning me over because it's just like these 10 one-hour increments that you get to watch, but it pulls you in just enough that right when you're like, oh my God, this is insane, that's when it's over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get you.
It's weird. I think it's winning over everybody, Eddie.
Yeah, it's just more accessible.
That's your theory.
Yeah.
Well,
people are lazy as fuck.
When are you playing next? Are you doing any gigs?
I think I have a couple next week. I'm not sure. I have to look at the calendar. I don't know. I have to look at my calendar. I don't know.
You comics. I'll never get it. Anyways, let's welcome our special guest, Mr. Alejandro Milan. Our studio audience loves you already. Alejandro, how are you?
I'm good.
Alejandro's one of my former songwriting students. He's actually a former Wake Up Hollywood guest as well.
Yeah, we were talking about that. But I don't remember. But
he hasn't been on the new network.
Yeah, it's been a while.
How do you like the new digs, Alejandro?
Oh, it's so, like, way better.
Well, you have to go downtown.
Way better.
You have to go downtown, which is the butthole of L.A.
You know, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm in Encino. I'm like, oh, my God, perfect. It's in Sherman Oaks, man. He was like, oh,
so the last time
you
did the show, you had to drive from Encino to the butthole of L.A.?
Yeah, actually, I was in Sherman Oaks last time.
Ugh.
So...
Making it hard for this guy. So tell us what you've been up to since you were on the show 2 years ago. We just realized you were on the show 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to?
Quite a while back.
I know you had a child.
Yeah, well, you know, that's been taking quite a chunk
out
of my life.
It'll do that. It will do that. How old?
She is almost a year now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's still hard.
So,
it's still shitty times.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, like we, like my wife and I are like, you know, hanging out there like all day in the house with her.
Is she walking yet?
Almost.
Almost.
Yeah, she's standing up and like walking with assistance, grabbing stuff.
A little
and,
walker.
Yeah. Opening all the doors that she shouldn't.
You gotta get those handles. You gotta get the knob covers, so you can't turn the doorknobs.
Oh yeah, well she's not that tall yet, but
she will be.
Yeah,
get into everything.
She will be. Yeah.
This is Eddie's. What? You're 5 years ahead of him. No,
six.
Colton's 6 years. Yeah, 7 years. Right.
Oh
Colton's
my god.
Seven. Yeah.
So he knows. So take that advice.
Don't worry. They go to grade school one day, and it gets a lot easier.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
He's far off from that, though. That's like another 2 years, right?
Well, you can go preschool. Yeah. You can get preschool at like two and a half, three.
Yeah, that's still 2.5 years. Give
that's
him
still,
some
yeah.
Give
still,
him some hope. He's got about a year.
No, there's no hope right now. You just got to put your head down and bear through it.
Yeah, but you know, life has changed a lot. Also, like, you guys were mentioning, like, a stand-up comedy. Like, and that's exactly the reason why I watch that, because I can just, like, watch for 10 minutes. And then, like, do something else because, you know, that's life.
You can't commit more than 10 minutes when you have a one-year-old walking around the house.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's kind of convenient. Like, okay, yeah, let's just, like, watch 10 minutes of it, and that's good, and then I'll continue later. So, I don't know. That's
crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. You're a young dad.
Yeah. So, was he in your rock and roll 101
he was
class?
He was in my songwriting 3 and 4,
songwriter.
I think, right?
Yeah.
I think I started that class after he left. So he wasn't in my Rockstar 101
Rockstar
class.
Rockstar 101, that's what it was.
It's all right. He was in my songwriting class. That's really where he got a lot of the magic. Mm. He got a lot of magic.
Magic.
That's where you indoctrinated him.
So you've been writing for some artists, some international artists.
Yeah.
You've been recording some of your own music. Tell us, like, what you've been doing on the artistic side, besides making babies.
Right. You know, I've been mostly writing, you know, a lot for myself. I've been doing arrangements. I'm getting into that arena also because, you know, it's convenient for my new life as a father. So I'm like, yeah, I guess I'll just like get into doing arrangements for people, for shows, for all kinds of things. That's pretty much it. Besides my life as a software developer, which is something I do as well.
Wait, you're developing software?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've been doing this for quite a while, like 15 years or so.
What?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know.
What kind of software do you do?
Yeah.
Mostly web, and I'm currently getting into mobile devices.
Mobile apps?
Yeah.
So, that's where the money is now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Everything's about the phone.
Mobile apps.
Everything's about... You know, I met Damon Wayans, and he was like, I was like, what are you going to do movie-wise? He's like, I'm just doing apps, man. I'm like, what are you just doing apps?
It's all the money's in the mobile apps.
Building apps.
I was like, mobile apps.
I'm way behind. Like, I want to be a musician.
No one cares about that anymore.
Like, yeah. Send me an app. Send me an app about it.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, like I haven't been performing pretty much at all. I mean, I've been doing like some shows, like playing for independent artists and stuff like that. But you know, like I kind of started like prioritizing the stuff that I really like to do, and I was like, you know what I like about music? I really like performing live for audiences, but I kind of like being in the studio. You know, like you start like you start choosing like the stuff that you really care about. So I, you know, like started focusing more on, you know, arrangements and writing songs and
And you can recording. Be close to your family. I mean, that's important. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
If you were touring like right now, it's like that's not that much fun to be away from family when you want to be
absolutely
with them, you know, for all these cool moments.
Yeah.
Even the poopy times.
Oh, yeah.
I saw his post today or yesterday. He was like, anybody, any new dads have any like advice on changing diapers, like in the sense of what I could do to cover the smell? Dimitri was like, you could put Vaseline over here.
Yeah, you know what? Like that was actually a business idea of mine. Like I was thinking like maybe like an aromatic mustache, you know.
So put it on your face.
Yeah, you put it on your face, you get the smell. So that can kind of work.
I was never affected so much by the actual poop. It was the diaper pail like the next day. If you didn't take out the diaper pail.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You have, like, why would you leave the diaper pail?
Well, no, because you have diapers. They have these inventions where you put it in and you flip it over. And like,
people don't like that.
What are you talking about? And you flip it over and the lid shuts. So, like, it's not an open thing. All right, I'm not going to talk about it. That's fine. Never mind.
You just... Sorry.
Never mind.
Eddie, it's okay. No.
I'm not finishing.
Tell us more
the
about
world is
sloppy
less,
ways of leaving poop in your house.
The world is less bright now.
You know, Eddie,
the world's more dim.
I totally hear you, Eddie. You know, like... you.
Mikhail doesn't know.
I don't know.
Mikhail only has a dog.
All the stuff, that I said I would never do, I'll do it all the time. You know, like, it's just like...
Do you play for your daughter a lot?
I do. She loves it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's my favorite audience right now.
And you know what? Like, that's probably a different thing altogether, because it's like you want to affect them, and then you're including them in something that's so personal to you that seeing any reaction must be 1,000 times more valuable than any fan that's like, I love your music. You know? It's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Absolutely.
Well, let's get into one of your songs. What are you going to play us first?
Okay. I want to play a song that's called Gotta Be Strong.
All right.
Yeah.
Once more, the tears in your eyes.
strong. Walk your own way. Oh, oh. One step at a time, we'll be safe to come home. No need to rush, there's no right or no wrong. Someday you gotta be strong. Walk your own way.
So tell us, what was the inspiration behind that song? It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. You know, I wrote this song a while back. You know, I thought about like those times where you feel like you have to move on from something, either, you know, a situation, a relationship, even a job. So you're feeling kind of blue. You're like telling yourself, you know, that you have to be strong.
Don't get any ideas, Eddie. Mm. Don't get any ideas. We want you right here. I like that. No, you know what? It's like change is like the only constant. So it's like, it's kind of cool that you wrote about that because, you know, it's like, that's not something that is a welcome experience for everybody. You know, mm-hmm. I've changed in so many different ways with so many different paths, but like, because I'm a little bit more used to it now, it's like I'm expecting it. But there are a lot of people I know that don't kind of like, they're going with the flow is a little bit more difficult. So mm-hmm. that's a song that I know can reach a lot of people. Cool. And have you put it on a record or anything?
You know, not yet. I mean, I've been you know, like putting together demos slowly. You know, like I'm not trying, you know, to rush myself into anything. So I'm just like basically putting together demos, finding the best songs that I have.
Tell us a little bit about your writing style. Like how do you what's your process like? Do you start with playing grooves? Do you kind of start with the title and just kind of start writing?
I kind of like changing the creative process often. So because I feel like if I do it the same way every time, like I get stuck in the same kind of stuff. So I don't want to, you know, like make it into a machine or something. So I kind of like being creative with the process itself. So sometimes I would start with a few chords, sometimes with an idea. Sometimes I even write songs just like without writing anything or like not even lyrics or anything, just like trying to come up with something like in my mind, and the things that I actually remember, that's like, okay, so that's stuck, so that, I guess that's good. So I write the whole song like that. So I do it mostly when I do that, I do it in the car. So that's a
oh, that's your practice space.
Yeah, so yeah,
Eddie just farts in his car.
I hotbox myself all the time.
Sorry, I had to, Eddie.
Yeah, so so yeah, I mean, I start with beats sometimes, or maybe with melodies, you know, like even with like crazier stuff, like, you know, like reading something, like an article, whatever, like taking a few words from it and like trying to write something around it, you know, like whatever gets me going. So yeah,
it's awesome, Eddie. You awake?
Yeah. I'm here. I was just listening.
He's taking it in?
I was just
taking
listening.
It in. Wow.
I was just listening. I didn't have a question.
I know. I was just
taking it in.
You look very relaxed. Like you want to be watching TV with your feet up.
I'd like to be in a hot tub right now. I'm not going to lie. A hot tub would be really nice.
Hot tub!
We all do.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So, Alejandro, let's talk a little bit about your change. Like, you wanted to perform a lot at one point.
Yeah.
And then do you think having a kid changed that a little bit?
Yeah, it did. It was something that I kind of like was thinking about already, but kind of like, you know, having a kid was like, oh yeah, so definitely this is like the direction I want to go. And I mean, already had the opportunity to, you know, like being on tour, playing in a bunch of places. I had the chance to record a bunch of albums with really cool people, people I admire. So it's you know, I feel like it's not something that I'm gonna be like, oh man, I wish I had done that.
You got it out of your system.
I just did it. I enjoyed it, and I kind of moved on.
When you move on, you got to be strong.
Yeah,
exactly. You started writing for some artists from Mexico, didn't you?
Yeah.
Talk to us about that a little bit.
Okay, so this was actually a fun process. So I was working with some people from Sony and some producer and with the artists. So, and like we were like, you know, bouncing ideas. But the cool thing is that everybody was in a different town. Like there was people in Miami, people in Mexico, like me in LA. So you know, that was super cool. And actually, that whole project, because it lasted a while, like probably like a year that I was doing that. So I had been writing in English up to that point, like primarily, and then this project was in Spanish. So I was like, I kind of miss doing that. I want to write in Spanish again. So I started writing, like besides that project, I started writing a bunch of songs in Spanish, you know, exploring that side. And so I realized that I kind of like my voice better in Spanish.
Like the way it sounds, like your actual voice or the voice... Your artist voice or your actual physical voice?
Yeah, I mean my actual physical my singing voice.
Your singing voice, yeah. You actually like it better.
So yeah, I feel like I add something different. Definitely helps, you know, that I feel more words. So I think that's not.
So is it the language or is it the actual like feeling that you get from what you're singing about in Spanish?
No, I think it's more like the feeling, because like I kind of like relate to the words more, like in English, I'm kind of like constantly translating to Spanish everything.
Right.
So like, you know, like there's like one less barrier. I know this sounds like, you know, like a bunch of crap, but
no, it's interesting because I don't have two languages in my head. I have one.
Barely.
I don't know.
I don't know what it's like to deal with having to constantly translate back and forth between two languages. I'm gonna fucking shove that iPad so far up your butthole.
I like really sculpting these emotions with sound effects. You know, it's like I just want to. I wish I had some theme music for everything that he said. That really gets. No, but I hear what you're saying.
Amy. No, do you?
Yeah. You know, I'm at a real disadvantage because I come from India, but I don't know any of the languages in India. Like I just know a couple little phrases and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's weird, like when I hear Indian music, it doesn't speak to me in the same way as other styles of music. But I'm starting to grow into like the sounds of sitar and like tabla and like bhangra and like all these like different styles of music that are from India. But it's taken me, to be an adult to kind of like appreciate them in that way, you know?
Yeah.
But so you're cross pollinating, man, with like so many different styles of music. You're just kind of experimenting in so many different realms.
Yeah, and you know, like also with like with a different language, you kind of like start channeling different artists because you know, like the artists that I listen to in Spanish, you know, like they don't sing in English ever.
Who are some of your biggest influences, both in as far as English writers and Spanish writers?
Well, in English, definitely Freddie Mercury would be like somewhere on top of the list.
He's no hack. He's good.
Yeah,
Eddie has a lot of his outfits at home.
I do.
The shirtless suspenders are his favorites.
And who else? Yeah, I really like Jeff Buckley. I more in the like heavier side. I like Porcupine Tree. I used to be a huge fan of progressive rock, and I was a huge fan of Emerson, Lake and Palmer. I don't listen to that music as much anymore.
Neither does the rest of the world. I'm just kidding. Emerson, Lake and Palmer, like, screw that guy, Nicky. I'm just kidding. No. It's classic.
It's classic. I mean, I liked it for a while, but you know, like they're definitely a huge influence, and so occasionally I listen to those albums again. In Spanish, I really like. Probably you guys wouldn't know any of these guys, but
Eddie might.
I really like Soda Stereo and Gustavo Cerati.
Nope.
It's Cerati is a guy from Argentina, and Soda Stereo used to be his band. I really liked those guys. I really like.
Are they big there? Like, are they like? Is like.
Yeah. Well, like this band is like one of the biggest band in like the Spanish rock.
Where are you from? Where are you exactly?
I am from Mexico.
You're from Mexico?
Yeah.
Are you from Mexico City?
Not from Mexico City. Okay. I am from Monterrey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever play? Do you have like a hometown there you're from, or is you were just there as a kid, or?
Yeah, Monterrey. That's my hometown.
Do you ever go there and play?
Just answer that, Eddie.
What? No, but I'm like, I don't want to know if he grew up
you,
or
you
if he,
5 seconds ago. Yeah.
If you'd stop with your stupid iPad, you'd understand the question I'm asking. You fucking dick.
I'm just kidding.
I wonder if you left there as a child, or you grew up there and then left, so you like still have a lot of friends and family there. You go back and play for, or do you just have no attachment to it at all?
No, I do have a lot of friends.
Okay, that's there. What I was asking.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
It was a really thought.
No, I'll sit over here and be quiet.
No, I like when you chime in. Hey, listen. Just know that
I was over here quiet, and then I got shit for it, and I started asking questions.
I'm just training. I'm training you. I'm training you for hecklers when you do your comedy
shows. I don't need training for hecklers.
It's all out of love, Eddie. It's all out of love, buddy.
Only one side.
So, when you go back home, do you show them? Are you more excited to show them the Spanish songs or the English songs?
Interesting. I don't really know.
They understand the language, right? Yeah. But I think it would be so fascinating. Like, dude, if somebody came and showed me French songs, that would be super fascinating. Just because if they're studying in France and they were learning all the little innuendos and nuances of French music, and then came back and showed me, I'd be like, that's awesome. Like, that's fascinating because it's new.
Well, music in English in Monterrey is, like, pretty mainstream. So, like, pretty much everyone speaks English, at least a little bit.
Who's the biggest, like, is Juanes, like, the biggest rock band in Mexico, or is it?
They're pretty big. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, I was never a fan of him, but I know there's people who like his.
I saw
his
them, and I was just like not blown away. I'm like, I've seen better Spanish and Mexican artists that are just like way, way better, and I was surprised at how big they are. You know, so that's why I asked that.
Yeah. You know, like and. It's kind of hard to not be biased towards the things that you like, especially being a musician. So, like, whenever... I mean, another huge band is Maná. Those... I don't really like their music, but they're huge. So, right. Like, it's kind of hard to define what's big or not. So, but yeah, definitely there are a bunch of artists that have, like, you know, like, that have been putting music out for... years and years and years, like, and they're still successful. So I mean,
so I don't remember what you said. Like, when you go back home, is it English songs or a little bit of both?
Yeah, a little bit of both. So like, and I think like everyone can kind of like appreciate both. I do feel like people relate a little bit more with the Spanish stuff. You know, like for the same reasons that I think I sing it better. But yeah, like English music is like very mainstream. Like you hear it all the time, and people, people understand it. So yeah,
very cool. Well, let's move to the production side of things. You're going to play us a song, but why don't you tell us a little bit about this song that you recorded and the production that went into it and how, like, that experience shaped you as a musician?
Okay. So yeah, this song I pretty much recorded. Not pretty much. I recorded everything myself in my home studio.
Wow.
So you know, like this is what I'm doing now. You know, like I'm being that crazy guy in his home studio recording everything by himself. But I definitely feel like there's something about working in your own environment and like having everything be in a certain way, like that you feel safe. So you know, like you know, it's kind of like my my safe place. So so yeah, I recorded this whole thing and I mixed it and I so yeah. That's
all right. Let's hear the track. What's the name of the track we're gonna play?
This track is called Erupción. That's one of the Spanish tracks.
All right, let's hear it. That was good. It put me in a mood. It put me in a very cool mood. Yeah. I heard you had a little tremolo guitar. Did you hear that guitar that was like, whoa, 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 whoa. So that's called tremolo.
Yeah.
Tell me, like, that's such a cool sound. It's one of my favorite sounds. I actually just bought a tremolo pedal because I was like, I just want an awesome tremolo pedal so I can do it whenever I want. And it's going to sound great. Tell me, like, was that one of the first things you added, or was that, like, a later thing that you added in production?
It was one of the first things. I guess the first thing was the bass line, like boom, boom, boom. That was, you know, the first thing I added, and I started, like, building everything around it. That's something I usually do. Like, you know, like, take, like, one element and, like, bass everything around it. Because, you know, I feel like that's what drives songs, you know, like, having that main thing. It doesn't have to be the vocals. So it can be other stuff. And then, like, you... Like, you know, like this sound with the guitar, that was like kind of like I was experimenting. It was kind of an accident when I was like, this sounds nice.
Yeah, I like that. So, do you play with a hollow body guitar? Did you have a semi hollow body? What do you have?
It's a hollow body, a Gretsch. But I think this was recorded with my other guitar. Yeah.
It sounds like a hollow body, man. It's crazy. Because it just has, like, this round, like, a roundness to the sound, like, that you can only get usually.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, I gotta be honest. I can't remember if it was, like, one of the or the other. Like, I think it was the Strat. I can't remember, but...
And there you have it, Eddie.
He's got dad brain.
He's got dad brain.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It all just mushes together? Is that what it is?
Everything just blurs.
It's just one big blur?
It's happening so much. Like, you know, I find myself, like, going into a room like, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Like, you just got to find something to do because you're already there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You just got to make it happen in there.
What happens? You just go? You just
get up and walk somewhere with the full intention of knowing where you were going and what you were going to do, and by the time you arrive there, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah,
you're just like, why am I in this room?
It has happened to me, like, driving. Like, I drive somewhere, like, I'm already, like, 10 minutes in, and I'm like...
Yeah, it's not like you just woke up and you're somewhere, you don't know where you are. You know where you are, but you just forgot why you went there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, exactly. Like, you were like, oh, I need to get this pen.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going in the other room to get, you know, a pen. And then, like, so you get up off the couch, walk in the other room. You get in the other room, you're like, what am I doing in this room? But, like, you remember the journey to the room.
Oh, that's
funny. Remember the walk to the room. You just get there, and that 30-second walk to the room, you totally
forgot
why you're
going
to the room.
That's got to be from lack of sleep. It's just got to be from lack of sleep.
Lack of sleep and stress, and you have 1,000 things going on in your head.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's lack of sleep because I'm actually sleeping a lot.
With infants, you do find time to sleep. It's not that.
You think it's a different
brutal
form of concentration?
I think so, yeah.
Like, you only are allowed a certain amount. But once you have a kid, it's like it all goes to the kid, and then
it's just tapped out. Your brain, your whole life,
you've
dedicated to yourself up until the point you actually have a child. Even if you have a dog or a wife, you're still basically thinking about yourself at all times.
Yeah.
And then when you have a kid, your brain splits, and this whole portion of your brain or your thought process or your conscious becomes dedicated to that child.
Yeah.
And so you have almost like two brains in your head. It's crazy. It's just, it's nonsense.
Yeah. Well, that's just about the best birth control I think I've ever heard.
It's nonsense. It's nonsense.
Thank you for that Zen moment. Yes.
That was beautiful.
It's nonsense.
Alejandro, so tell us, like, when you're writing a song and, you know, like, you just performed a couple songs, you're going to play another one out. But when you are in the studio and you're thinking about production, tell me, like, what that shift in the creative mind is for you. How do you approach a song like the way you just did? You said you start with the bass line, and then you started adding these guitar sounds.
Yeah.
But, like, the sound of the song could have gone in so many different ways. How did you finalize, like, a direction?
I just play shit until I like it.
There you go.
Like it. That's a fantastic answer.
I don't really know. You know, I've tried to put this into words, but it's just useless. Like, basically, just do that. I've kind of learned to incorporate, like, using the computer and, like, all that technical aspect into my workflow so that it doesn't get in the way. So I don't really, you know, have to think about that stuff when I'm writing. So yeah, I mean, it can go in like any direction, really. Like
for me, when I'm like creating a song, it's very in the moment. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if I'm doing my own records, mm-hmm. it's like I've thought about the parts and stuff for months that I want to put on it. Like, I kind of like whittle everything down. But when I'm doing like a production on a song that has a deadline in like a week, oh. everything's just like, okay, how does this feel in the moment right now? Like, you know what I mean? It could take so many different directions. It's really hard to like, sometimes you want to take a song in a direction of a band or a sound that you love. But maybe that's not the direction the song needs to go in. Mm. So it's like kind of like sometimes you have to step back and see like what's meant for the song versus what you want the song. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So that's why I asked that question, because it's like it's interesting to see what a different process is like, you know?
Yeah, and you know, like that's interesting too, because having your own recording gear and like getting like used to use it a lot, it's you kind of become lazy. You procrastinate right. making decisions, which is not good. Like, it's like there's also like this other side of songwriting and production where you plan everything, and you kind of have to commit to things while you know, while you're in the process. And if you have your own studio, it's like so easy, like to spend months and months working on one song. You know, like, I don't know if it's better or worse. It's just the way it is when you have your studio. It's like,
right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Real quick, before you play us out with another song, where can people find you?
They can find me on Facebook.
What's your address? People want to meet you in person.
Yeah.
Easy there.
Where do you actually live?
Easy.
Okay. I'll be giving autographs.
Have a lemonade stand.
Yeah. they can go to facebook.com/ Milan Official. That's Milan with double L. Or they can go to my website to, you know.
Spell out your website, because people are dumb.
Yeah, that's ALEJANDROMILLAN.com.
Okay. So now say that.
Yeah.
Alejandro
Milan.
Mian.
Mian?
Oh, Mian. Yeah. Oh.
Oh, the double L. Mian.
Damn.
Yeah, the double L.
Right. The old double shit. L in yeah. Spanish.
Shut up.
Yeah, no, you know, like, I even call myself Milan in English just because, you know, it's easier.
I should have known that because of Yaves, you know, but.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Mian.
Mian. All right. So what are you going to play us out?
Okay, I'm going to play another song in Spanish called Surreal.
Surreal.
Nice. Woo! That was beautiful.
Thanks, man.
And he was, nice, and he was like, this is...
I was moved.
He was very moved. He hasn't been that moved since he listened to Enrique Iglesias' 1999.
Good stuff. So, one more time, what's your website? Just say it. So, Alejandro.
Alejandro Millan. AlejandroMillan.com. AlejandroMillan.com.
Cool.
Right. Alejandro, so great to see you.
Thanks for coming by.
Even better to hear you. We will have you back.
Yeah,
we will not wait 2 years. Next time it'll be like 10 months. So keep us posted on everything you're doing, man. Thank you so much for coming by and sharing your music.
No, thanks for having me.
Of course, on behalf of Eddie and I, Eddie. Bah. Eddie.
Bah.
I love you.
See ya.